Back to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. Welcome back. We're in the second half of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. Our number is 855-454-5905. Before we go to the phones, we're going to check in and see what folks are talking on our second favorite book, and that's Facebook. So, Marcos, what are people saying on the book?
Well, you know, we just posted bacon. We have Tiffany Bacon here. We have bacon here. And, of course, Giselle says, that is Griselle says, LOL, that was funny. But we have posted a couple of things here that I want to make you mindful of. Number one is questions about sex, abusive relationship, forgiveness, and dating. These are just some of the calls we're receiving this morning. So go ahead and tune in. And if you've not done this already, we do invite you to like our Facebook page. You might say, well, what's the importance of that? Well, I think throughout the week, we're able to stay connected. We're able to hear from you. You also are able to hear from us. And sometimes, you know, people get a little shy on the air. And they're like, hey, can I post something? So, you know, we don't always have time to go through each and every one, but we would love to be able to, you know, just hear from you throughout the week. You could also go to praisephilly.com and you can listen to archive shows. So if you miss part of the show today or you want someone else to listen, hey, listen, there was a great conversation that was going on that you missed and someone needs to hear that, go ahead and encourage them to go to praisephilly.com and look for me, Marcos Mercado, Marriage Beyond the Vows. But, you know, there are things that have been posted here that you might say, well, you know, what do we do in terms of getting some direction in? And we want to encourage you. We're going to go ahead and go back to our phone lines. But yes, if we have an opportunity, we'll come back to Facebook a little later and answer some of your questions if you post those online.
All right. So, again, the phone number is 855-454-5905. Let's go to line one and speak with Hope out of New Jersey. Hope, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning, Hope. Beautiful name. Thank you so much for your call this morning. So I believe you mentioned to our producer that you need some guidance regarding your husband and your marriage.
Yes.
Okay, so tell us what's happening.
Guidance or insight. All right, this is what happened.
Okay.
We've been married. This past February would have been 13 years.
Okay.
But last November, he walked out on me.
Mm.
He moved out.
Okay.
This is what I think happened. Well, like a year prior to that, I've been having some problems, some health problems.
Okay.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, right?
Okay.
So the medication that they gave me, I think, all it was doing causing me, like, pain. When I say pain, I mean pain. The metformin, when I take it, and I know it's it because after I take it, like half an hour after I take the medication, that's when I start feeling nauseous and sick and
really?
Anyways.
With diabetes medication or high blood pressure medication?
All of them. High blood pressure, diabetes. Cholesterol.
Quick question for you, if maybe this is stating the obvious, Hope. But did you mention this to your doctor, that this is causing you the amount of pain that it has?
Yes.
And did he say
yes,
that was normal?
All he keeps saying is, like, he couldn't tell me why I'm having pain,
mm-hmm.
basically. He couldn't tell me. He kept saying no because a lot of people have been on those medication and they have no complaint.
Yeah. It sounds a little bit uncommon or a lot uncommon. All right. So you believe that because you've had physical challenges that it was too much for your husband to bear? Was that it?
I don't know what it is. Let me see if I can break it down and see if you can understand it because I can't. So within that year, I start noticing I start taking the bed for it. It's like the bed was my best friend.
Okay.
Right. So I started taking the bed. We weren't really communicating like we used to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we didn't have a quarrel or, you know, but we just never communicated. If I'm upstairs in the bed, he'll be downstairs on the computer.
Okay.
Right? So we're not, and I mean, we in the same, I work the afternoon shift, he works the night shift.
Okay.
And we work at the same job.
Okay. So you still see him at work?
Huh?
You still see your husband at your job?
Yes.
But he moved out?
Yes.
Okay. Did he give you a reason?
No. You won't even talk to me.
And after almost 13 years, he walked away and never gave you a reason.
Never gave me a good reason.
What
never
about when you've
never
argued?
Never gave me any reason. He moved out. He waited until I went to work one night. He moved out.
And you're legally married?
Yep.
Do you go to church together? Does your husband attend church?
No, we go to church. Like, we used to go to church like Easter once in a while.
Okay.
Easter, Christmas, you know what I mean?
Okay.
We weren't at church go in person. We go once in a while. We go to church. Last time we went was last year Easter together.
Okay. Okay. A couple of things here, Hope, and I think that it's hard to get a gauge on what's happening with your husband because obviously we don't know why he decided to leave. But I think the biggest problem here is the lack of communication because everything you're saying, you know, the physical challenges, even, you know, not really having, you know, I would say a relationship that, you know, you were upstairs, he was downstairs, or all these things. It's a symptom of a lack of communication.
Yes, I used to talk to him about it. Once in a while, I'll say, we look like we're living like brother and sister.
Mm-hmm. Well, like roommates, like roommates. Well. Let me say this, Hope, and let me finish this thought. The communication that I believe, and you know, you called in, and this is Marriage Beyond the Vows, and we seriously believe, you know, that God is the one that sanctioned marriage, and he has the answers for us. And believe it or not, something that I'm not amazed at, but it is mind-blowing what couples don't do, is when God is not the center and couples are not praying together, because something about praying together helps you to have communication. So I'm not saying it's too late or not, but let me ask you this, Hope. Is your husband willing to at least sit down with you and have a conversation? Have you said, listen, can we talk?
I've tried so many times. I've been trying since Monday coming will be 6 months.
Okay, so he doesn't want to talk at all. So he's evading. When you call him, what happens? Does he not pick up?
When I call, he don't pick up. I text. And listen, he's a person who loves to text.
Mm-hmm. So he doesn't respond to the text?
He doesn't respond. The only time he calls me is when he wants the mechanic number. Like if something happened to his truck and he wants the mechanic number. So if he called me 2 times to ask me for the mechanic number.
Well, tell him that you want to talk to the spiritual mechanic. And you got to talk about your marriage. And I would love for him and for you to be able to give me a call so we can talk. Maybe he'll respond. Tell him to call me. Because we need to fix that. Because his truck could be broken, and he's more urgent about fixing it than his marriage.
Yep.
And I tell you, he needs to call and get help about his marriage because this is still a marriage. And if it's not, then he needs to make that clear and move on. But he's not talking about divorce, is he?
When it happened, he told, I don't know if it's out, like I'm saying, I thought it was out of vexation, but now I get to realize that maybe it might be true. He said, the love is over.
Okay, but the love could be over, and that doesn't mean the marriage is over. There's still, you can still work on something. There are many couples who are not in love.
That's why I've been trying. I've been trying to get him to go out, even to the movies or to dinner, just to talk us alone. I know where he moved at, but I found out where he moved at. I've been there twice.
Okay.
But I've got so emotional crying. He doesn't like to see me crying. Okay. So I tell myself I won't go there unless he invites me there.
I understand. And I'm not saying that, but you have a right as a wife. You need to know, okay, what's going to happen with the rest of the relationship. So I want to invite you to do this, Hope. Encourage him. Whatever else he needs, help with the, you know, the mechanic, whatever. Look, we first got to deal with some major life issues, and we have to deal with our marriage. And it's 13 years. You can't be in limbo, because then if the marriage was over, at least you can cry about that, mourn it, and then if it's God's will, start dating again. But if you don't know, it's just not fair to you. So I want to encourage you, ask him, Hope, to give me a call. You know, every Saturday morning I'm here. I would love to hear from the both of you together. But most importantly, I would just love to hear from him to see what he's thinking and see how we can help.
Can I give you his number to call him?
You know, I don't want you to do that over the phone, and I can't just call him unless he's okay with it.
If I try to talk to him, like last Friday I had to call him because of something you did from my account.
Okay.
He won't stand up 2 minutes to talk to me.
I got you. But here's the thing. When he needs you and he said he can't stand for you to cry, I say, listen, you're crying your eyes out because you need some answers. Mm-hmm. And he needs to call. And
if he knows I'm crying, and all he tells somebody is like, okay.
Hold on one second.
We have to take another break. But Hope, please, just encourage him to go ahead and give us a call. If he doesn't, then you need to say we need to get divorced because you can't fix a marriage if he's not willing.
Mm-hmm. All right, Hope. Thank you so much for your phone call.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Hope, thank God bless you. Hey, we don't want you to touch that dial. You can join us, though, by dialing 855-454-5905. Stay with us. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised. And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. We are in the final segment of today's program. Let me give you the number again. It's 855-454-5905. Let's go to Ashley calling in from Michigan. Ashley, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I love the show and appreciate the godly counsel that you guys give.
Awesome.
I am calling. I'm a single woman, and I've been walking with the Lord about 5 years now. And my question is, for a woman who is a Christian, at what point do you, position yourself to be found? I know the Bible says a man, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. But as single Christian women, and I talk about this with my other Christian girlfriends, you know, at what point do we go out there or not looking, but, you know, position yourself? And I struggle with the dating websites. I'm not against them. I still would love to meet somebody more organically. But I know that the way our times are today, this is how things are going through the dating websites. But I still struggle with that, and also just have being found by a godly man. I'm, you know, we're sick of these guys that are sort of saved or, you know, and those seem to be the guys that approach us are the guys who are, you know, they look good on the outwardly appearance and they go to church. But when you get deep into something or a relationship or a friendship, they want to go to the bedroom. And so I guess as a Christian woman, how do you position yourself to be found by a godly man?
Well, I think this is, it goes back to, I don't know if you heard us right at the very beginning. I said that's a simple question, but it's really, the answer is not simple. The question is very simple, and we really do appreciate you calling in because it's so different for so many, right? I mean, number one, it's where do you worship? You know, if you're in a small church and there are not many people that you can connect with. What I appreciate is what you said when you used the word organically. Like you feel like, all right, there has to be some way that this just seems natural, not like you're making it happen. At least that's what I'm hearing. Like you don't want to force this so much. Like you want a relationship so badly that you'll go through, you know, halfway around the world just to find someone. Does that make sense? It just sounds like God should just send you. You know what I think, Ashley? The world really messes us up in a lot of ways because, you know, we have these fairy tales that, you know, they say people live happily ever after. And then we don't see their ever after. And the fact is, you know, Prince Charming and his wife will have an argument at some point. You know, these are realities. But even how things happen, right, it just sometimes God has a way of working and we have to let him work. What concerns me is what you said earlier, when you have these like sort of saved or you said half saved. I mean, really, you're talking about these unspiritual men who say they want a Christian relationship, but Christ is not the center.
Right.
I mean, that's the real issue. So let me tell you, I think what worked for me is I didn't just trust myself. And I think my wife the same way. We trusted people around us that knew that we were both like-minded. And it was interesting. We were sort of set up on a date, but not really. Someone suggested that I take my wife out on a date, and I didn't even know who she was. I knew one of her friends, and I called. And long story short, we ended up having a date, and it wasn't even much of a date. We went to visit a friend.
Right.
But we really hit it off. And then we just became friends. We weren't even, it wasn't even a romantic situation for us. And we just started working together in the ministry, and we became amazing friends. And then really good friends of ours said, well, why are you not looking at her? Like, what, you know, what is it? What are you looking for? And it was some good, honest conversation that I needed with some other godly men in my life to say, wait a minute, what are you searching for? Because I think that I was looking for more of the outward, you know, not just the physical, but even a lot of the outward signs. And I was missing all the inner. My wife is beautiful, by the way, but I think it's just my mindset. I was thinking very differently. I don't know why. I tell people all the time, I think I was truly blind, but now I see. And so sometimes those people can be in your circle. Do you have godly friendships with men of the opposite sex? And what I mean by godly friendships, even if it's something that's not romantic, but you trust them as a Christian man. Do you have those relationships?
I do. And I trust me when I say this, you know, they are just friends, not something that could lead to anything romantic.
That's okay.
Question.
One of my best friends, two of my best friends, I hooked them up. You know, they ended up married, and they had so much in common. And she was a great friend. This woman, amazing woman. You know, we from early on in our friendship, we tried, you know, to get a little bit romantic, but we just felt like we had opposite dreams. You know, she's a physician. She was in med school at the time. And I wanted to be in the ministry. And she didn't want to be a missionary doctor. She wanted to make money. And there was nothing wrong with that. She said she'll be very benevolent. But we have very different dreams. So we became great friends. And I always said, listen, I'll perform your wedding ceremony. You're going to be my children's physicians. So, you know, fast forward, I hooked her up with her husband because he was a great friend that was just very godly. And the reason I asked you that question is not necessarily because the men that you know are the ones, but they would know, because people tend to spend time with people who are like-minded. And so one of your closest friends that are happen to be of the opposite sex might know the perfect guy. I think it's just, you know, making sure you're steadfast, you're righteous, and you be honest. Listen, this is what I'm praying about. This is what I'm looking for. That's how it happened for her. When she started praying about what she wanted and being in a serious relationship, I was like, well, wait a minute, my buddy, that'll be perfect. From day one, as soon as we set him up on a date, it just clicked. They're married, have a child together. She has her private practice. He runs it. He has an MBA. She's a physician. I mean, it was like a perfect scenario. But it took someone like me who kind of knew both and said, and I'm not saying I'm playing matchmaker for everyone, by the way. That's not what I do. Yeah. But at that point, it was just so clear. But they would not. Maybe God would have set it up anyway. I'm sure that he would. But I believe he used me. Because I had like-minded people around me that were also spiritually focused. So hopefully that helps you, Ashley, that maybe some of your friends are the ones to recommend someone. Because they know what you're looking for, and hopefully they'll know the other person, what they're looking for as well.
Right. Yeah, that does help. And I think that's the one thing about kind of being in Christian circles. It's like everybody knows they desire to be married, but at the same time, people don't want to take that action because they feel like, well, I'm getting in God's way, or this is not my job to set people up or to do this. And I don't feel that way, but in Christian circles, it can be that way, where people are a little timid to do the whole dating thing or, you know, setting people up that they feel should be together. So I guess I've run into that in the past, and like I said, I'm just waiting. So, but at the same time, I know, I guess it's the difference between actively waiting and waiting.
Well, the Bible says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you will find. It's like anything else in life. You know, if you want it bad enough, you put it out there. Now, there's a difference between asking and being desperate. And I think that you can ask, but you don't have to be desperate. It's like, God, this is what I want. And let people know, listen, I'm praying. I'm ready to get married. I have close friends of mine right now that are single, and they made it really clear. We don't want to stay single. We're looking for someone. And so, our radar goes up. It's like one of them, believe it or not, it has a friend that's in town visiting just to get to know her. Mm-hmm. But he's like, I want to make sure that other people get to know her as well. So, you know, that kind of, you know, relationship really makes a difference. And, you know, like I said, like-minded people, you know, spend time with others that are, you know, have similar convictions, similar faith, and prayerfully, that's the way to go. That's the way I did it. And I believe that's the way it works. Now, again, like you said, the online dating stuff, that might work for some. It just, maybe I'm old fashioned, but I prefer, you know, for it to be what I would want for my kids as well, is for them to meet people who are friends of their friends, mm-hmm. and that they're like-minded.
Absolutely.
All right, Ashley. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate your calling, and please update us. If you do meet someone, let us know how and what happened.
Hopefully I will.
I believe you will. I believe you will, Ashley. Thank you so much.
Have a good morning, guys.
All right, Ashley. Thank you for calling, but don't stop listening because we have Lauren on the line, who actually has a comment for you. Lauren's calling in from Philadelphia. Lauren, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. I hope everyone is having a blessed morning.
We are. We're blessed, and it sounds like you are as well. So bless us now.
Yes, sir. But I just want to have a little comment for the young lady.
For Ashley?
Who's single and wanting to get married. And, yes, it does say in the Bible that he who finds a wife finds a good, a good thing.
Sure.
But we as single women, and I am single, and I've been single a long time, but I've learned to be okay with my singleness, mm-hmm. and know that I need to just stay in the Word, so when the Lord does bring my husband to me, I will be worthy of him.
Now Laura, let me go just a quick second for clarification, and this is for me as well, but for our listeners, when you say you're okay with being single, explain that, because I think sometimes we deceive ourselves on purpose, and I'm not saying that's what you're doing, but I just want to get clarification, because sometimes we say we want something, but then we're like, oh, we really don't want it, and it's like, which one is it? You know, okay?
I truly want to be married.
Okay.
I think I would have made I'm a little older than she is now, you know, so when I get married, I do believe in companionship, so
okay.
I think I'm older than the baby-making thing, but I thought I could have made a good mother also. But being okay with being single means I have a lot of single friends. Well, not a lot of single friends, but we do movies and you know, plays and stuff.
But these are friends that are other women, or are you talking about men of the, you know, someone of the opposite sex?
It's a group.
Okay, so it's a group of singles.
Not just women. It's a group of us that get together,
nice.
You know, once a month or so, and we go out and we laugh and joke and stuff. And then I'm okay with going to the movies and having dinner by myself.
Okay.
It took a minute to get there. I'm not saying that this is an overnight thing where you're like, oh, I'm great, I'm confident, and you know, because at some days you do get lonely and you think you're lonely, but that's when the Lord and the Holy Spirit seriously steps in and tells me to just hold on, little girl. My father told me that years and years ago, and I don't think he really understood what he was saying or how impactful that little statement was when he said it to me. Just hold on, you know, just hold on. The Lord has what he has for us.
Okay, that's good.
You know, it may be that she thinks, you know, her biological clock is ticking and she has to have it.
But
just to keep praying, keep in the Word, so when the Lord, you know, that she can be worthy, because we need to be the virtuous women to encourage the men that the Lord brings to us.
I think so. And something I want to say, Lauren, is it's funny because I wasn't really looking. But I was looking. I mean, I don't know if that makes sense. I think I was searching and I didn't realize it. And what I mean by that is I was in a relationship. When I met my wife, I had just broken up a relationship, a serious relationship, someone that I thought that I wanted to marry. Now, I didn't go as far as putting a ring on her finger because I just some things weren't clicking in the relationship, but I thought that she was the one. Mm-hmm. And then my wife comes along right after that, and I really wasn't looking to date again. And I'm not talking about like taking her out, but I wasn't looking for a relationship right then and there. I actually was thinking I was going to go back with my ex. You know, just I was thinking maybe we just give it some time, some space. But God had a totally different plan. And what I was hoping, and in a way, I think I would have absolutely been miserable if I had married my ex, because I was trying to change her to become something she wasn't, even spiritually. Like, she just wasn't, you know, what I needed in terms of being compatible for me. And but Amaryllis, my wife, she is. But I didn't realize that. And that's why I had said before that it took a good friend. It took various friends, but one specific brother in my life that just said, listen, you know, what are you looking for? And it just got me to question it and shifted my whole approach. Because from that point on, I was like, okay, wait a minute. Why am I pursuing this ex relationship when God sent me this amazing woman and she's the one? And really, when I read Proverbs 31 and I think of the wife of noble character, that was my wife before we got married. Like I was like, wow, that's what I want. I think a lot of times we read Proverbs 31 and we love this woman, but we realized she had a great man. So they helped each other. They both had amazing spiritual qualities and even other qualities that complemented one another. It's not just the virtuous wife. It's, man, the husband that people can speak highly of, that are his respected. And those things happen before you're married. And this was my prayer, Lauren. My prayer is anyone who I'm with would make me better.
Ooh.
To make
Glory
me better.
To God.
And what
Glory.
I mean by that, even for God, just better, a better minister, a better friend. You know, just better. My wife, Amaryllis, makes me better.
Amen.
So I appreciate that. So, Lauren, thank you. Thank you for sharing that and, you know, sharing with Ashley and all the others who are single. And you keep having fun. You know, you never know what God has planned. But, you know, I believe when he does send someone your way, it's going to become evident and it's going to be a spiritual man.
And that's what I see. And that's what I pray for Ashley, too. Amen. I receive that in the name of the Lord. And you seriously have a blessed day.
You too, Lauren.
All right. Take Bye-bye. Care. Let's go to Eve calling in from New Jersey. Eve, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, just listening to what was just said was really encouraging. I have been married 13 years to someone that I considered my friend.
Okay.
Our relationship started going, you know, as marriages go up, have their ups and downs. We started to have a season where it was just down, and I had some health problems. I found out that I had a tumor. I had surgery to remove the tumor, but I didn't know at the time, you know, that it was really affecting my mood, which caused my husband to back away from me and seek attention elsewhere. I ended up finding out that he had an affair. It's been a year since I found out about the affair now. I decided to stay in the marriage because I really wanted it to work. But again, a year later, I'm still having trust issues. I'm still having feelings of I can't let it go, and I want God to fix that. I've been praying about it, but I just feel like I need some encouragement.
Sure, sure. Well, Eve, let me ask you this. Do you believe your husband is repentant of that affair?
I think he does feel guilty about it.
That's not my question. My question is, has he repented?
I don't know. He said he was sorry. I don't know. I really don't know if he's repented.
Okay. And this is, you know, it might sound redundant for those who, you know, who listen often. But I very much often share about the difference between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. And I think that it's good for you to know and be able to see the fruit, because you have to heal. Mm-hmm. But you also, there's a part that you have to take responsibility. And I'm not saying that you take responsibility for.
Oh, I do. Trust me. I know that there's things that I could have done better. And I can't blame it all on the tumor. I feel like, you know, I should have been more watchful of things and more watchful of myself. Not that
sure.
I've done anything, but
No. Of course, of course, and that's what I mean. It's like so that you just don't become the victim. And of course, there are some things that you could not have control, and you're not. It's not your fault that your husband had an affair, but I'm saying that you take responsibility so that you can make sure you protect your husband and your marriage and that you don't allow the devil to get back in there. But sometimes what happens, and this is, you know, indirectly, when someone has an affair, like in your case, your husband had an affair, and you, in your heart, want to forgive, but you don't, and he wants to be forgiven, but doesn't feel forgiven, believe it or not, what you end up doing is you give room for the devil to work all over again, because he's
like
going to feel the
happening.
Yeah. And I don't think that this is intentional. I don't think you're trying to do this. He's trying to do this. But because there's no closure. You ever heard where some couples might share and they'll say that their marriage is actually stronger after an affair, which sounds crazy, right? But you've heard that before?
I've heard it before, yes.
And you know, for a lot of times, it just doesn't make sense. Like, what? But the Bible says, he who's been forgiven much loves much. He who's been forgiven little loves little, meaning that sometimes the mere fact that there's more grace in your relationship makes you stronger. And what I mean by that is, if you and your husband both realize at this point, you shouldn't even be married. Your marriage was over. He left, stepped out. He shouldn't be forgiven, but you decided to forgive him. You know, it's like, if that grace is there, then it's even stronger, because it's like, man, I don't deserve my wife. I messed up. I was an idiot. She was sick and I was unfaithful. What in the world was wrong with me? But she's forgiven me. Thank you, God. I can't take her for granted. We got to make this work. And then vice versa. You could say, look, the devil came. He was trying to, you know, steal, kill, and destroy your whole relationship. But here you have hope, your husband. And something that you need to realize as well, as wrong as it was, there are a lot of men out there who don't repent, who don't want to leave the affair and decide to leave their wives instead. So I think that there's a lot to be grateful for here. And let me read this to you in 2 Corinthians 7. And this is a question you have to ask yourself. It says, even if I cause you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you, what earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. Now, what is this? Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. This is his second letter. The first letter was a rebuke. They were in sin. They had a lot to repent of. I mean, they were getting drunk on the communion. There were lawsuits among the but among the Christians. And last but not least, they dealt with a situation of sexual immorality, and they dealt with it wrong. They were arrogant about how to deal with this instead of truly putting their foot down about sin. So Paul really, in a lot of ways, he blasts them spiritually. Mm-hmm. But in the second letter, in 2 Corinthians, he's like, listen, I know my letter hurt you, but I'm grateful because it made you sorry. You know, yesterday I had a conversation with a friend. My wife and I were talking to her, and we said something that made her feel a little bit uncomfortable. She's like, man, now I feel bad. And at first, this was my response. We're like, oh, we didn't mean to make you feel bad, but we did. But then I said, I took it back, and I said, well, I didn't want to make you feel bad, but if that's going to cause you to change, then I'm glad. And I think that's what Paul was saying in essence. It's like, look, you got to feel bad here, but only if it's going to lead to change. It's not for the sake of just feeling bad. Right now, you got to ask yourself if your husband just feels bad, feels guilt, or is he really sorry? You know, if he can take it all back, would he do it again, or would he absolutely change? You know, has he shared that with you, like how sorry he is, how much of an idiot he was? And then at that point, you got to make a decision to truly forgive him. And by forgiving, meaning that you heal from it, you do whatever it takes so that you don't keep making him feel bad about something that he's already repented of.
I see.
Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And I know that if I do something wrong, I want to be forgiven. I want God to forgive me of my sins. So how can I not try to make the effort to forgive him? It's just hard.
Yeah. And how many times does the Bible say we need to forgive?
Isn't it seven times?
Yeah.
I think seven times 70.
Right, seven times 77. Really what it means is it's an infinite amount of times. I want to encourage you to view that for your life as you need to forgive over and over again. You can forgive today, but tomorrow morning you might wake up and you might feel hurt all over again. And it's an offense that happened years ago, but you need to forgive. And you have to remind yourself, listen, I already forgave. Why am I holding on to this? And let it go. Especially if your husband's not giving you any reason. Now, it's different if you have questions, you're doubting, he doesn't show up at night, comes the next morning, he's like, don't ask me where I was. That, if that's the kind of behavior he has, then it's a different conversation. But if he's really sorry and has asked you to forgive him, then and you've decided to forgive him, then you're going to have to make that decision. It might take years where you keep waking up. Something might happen and it might remind you of the affair and you might want to emotionally, you know, get back at him. But you're like, wait a minute, I forgave. So I'm letting it go. It's gone. And that takes healing, but it starts with a decision that God, I need to forgive. The Bible says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And that's not easy. But it's a decision. And so what happens for you now, Eve, every day you wake up and you're like, I've forgiven my husband. That's during lovemaking, during dinner, during having a walk, even during an argument. You don't bring that back up because you've forgiven him.
Okay.
All right. And we pray that you heal together. And again, it's a different conversation if he's not shown you repentance. But if he's repented, you've decided to forgive him, then you live that way. All right, Eve, thank you. We really appreciate you calling. Thank you very much. Have a blessed day.
All right, take care. Hey, listen, we have a few more minutes left in the program. Feel free to call with a question about your relationship. Give us a call at 855-454-5905. Now we're going to speak with Sharon, calling in from Philadelphia. Sharon, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for fitting me in.
Yes, you've made it in here. So congratulations. Thank you so much. We appreciate your patience. Sharon, so what is your comment or question for us today?
I have a comment that's pretty sensitive in nature, and it has to do with my marriage bed.
Okay.
I have some issues around oral sex, and my husband does not, and it causes conflict in our relationship on a regular basis.
Okay. Well, and let me just put this disclaimer out there. It's pretty obvious, but for any adults, if you have children around you, you do not want them to have this conversation. This is an adult conversation, and we'll keep it tasteful. But here we are, Sharon. So what is your issue, to be honest, like to be exact? What issue do you have? Do you feel like it's sinful? Do you just feel uncomfortable? I mean, what's the issue?
I feel like it can be sinful. I'm not sure.
Well, why? Why is it sinful, number one?
It just doesn't feel like it's productive. I don't know if we should even be having sex because we're not having children.
Okay. Well, it's sex only for procreation, number one.
I don't know. I have issues about that.
Okay. All right. Well, let's define this first. In Hebrews 13, verse 4. The Hebrew writer says, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. So here's what God is saying, and there are many other scriptures as well, but let's just break it down for a moment. Adultery. What is adultery? Adultery is having sex outside of marriage, right? That means that if you step out on your marriage, you commit adultery. If you have, you know, sex with a married man but it's not your husband, that's adultery. And if you're not married and you're having sex, it's considered adultery. Okay. We usually just define it when someone steps out of marriage, but really it's anything that's not in marriage the way God designed, it's adultery. Okay. So, and then the second one is sexually immoral. Well, what's immoral? Well, very simple. It's anything that's not within the confines of what God says. It's just, it's right, it's moral. Now, in the New Testament, there are Levitical laws and certain things that in the Old Testament, people had to abide by, right? Be fruitful and multiply. You know, there are examples there where, you know, people had sex and it wasn't to procreate and it was considered wrong because God had given them a specific command. In the New Testament, it just says honor marriage and keep the marriage bed pure and not be immoral. What's immoral? Anything that's wrong. So if lust is wrong, then bringing someone else to the marriage bed would be immoral. That would be sinful. I would consider pornography part of that. like bringing something else, someone else into the marriage that's immoral. But other than that, I mean, there really is, there are no rules or boundaries. The only ones that I would say is making sure that you consider others above yourself. So if there's something that makes you feel really uncomfortable and you can't overcome it, well, how do you work together to find a common place where you're both fully satisfied? And so if it's, if you can't feel like for some reason you can't perform, you know, oral sex, or you can't perform certain things, well, what can you do that your husband will feel satisfied? Because at the end of the day, don't you want to satisfy your husband in a way where he won't even have any temptation out there because he's fully satisfied? The Bible says that your body doesn't belong to you alone, but it belongs to your husband. Your husband's body doesn't belong to you, to him, but it belongs to you also. So how could something be wrong if it's something that you both agree on and you both feel great about because you're giving pleasure to one another the way God designed it? I mean, and it's pure. As long as it's pure. You know, again, impure would be doing something that would be outside of the confines that God has designed.
I do want him, I do want to give him that enjoyment and to share that with him, want to share his enjoyment with him. But then it gives me such anxieties that I physically, in the moment, have a hard time where I even sometimes feel in my mind that it's painful. So I don't know if I need to seek counseling.
Is it painful, physically painful, or just emotionally painful?
Both. And I think that the physical pain is just my mind saying that because I get so tense and I feel so much anxiety around that.
You might need outside help. That's possible. But I'm not going to say don't get that help. But one of the things that I would tell you is start as a blank canvas. Say, listen, with everything the world tells us, because, you know, the world twists, you know, it does a lot. It does a number on us. You know, we're not supposed to do certain things. We're supposed to do certain things. I mean, it's like, all right, well, what does God say? So start as a blank canvas. Start reading the Songs of Songs, Songs of Solomon, and even look at the sex life that it's in the Bible. There's a book devoted just to sex and the things that they say to each other. It's like, you know, I take pleasure in you. And it's not just, if anything, I will go as far as saying there's definitely oral sex going on in Song of Solomon. Because,
wow.
Because you're giving to each other. I mean, it's like you don't belong to you anymore. You belong to him. He belongs to you. It's like, I want you to consider one last thing here, Sharon. Sex is not just something that God is saying is okay. He's saying that he's pleased when you do it. So it's an act of worship. God is pleased. Think about it. I mean, as God looks at our marriages, he's pleased when husband and wife just can be who they need to be with each other and they're fully satisfied and they don't have to look anywhere else because they're giving to each other in a way that they would, you know, each one is trying to outdo the other and giving more and letting themselves go more.
So you're saying sex was given to us to enjoy as married people?
Absolutely.
It's nothing to hide from.
Sex is a gift, and we get, see, the problem is we want the gift so badly that we do it our own way, and that's why people have sex outside of marriage. That's wrong. But if you made your vow, you committed to one another for the rest of your lives, enjoy it. You got, trust me, Sharon, what you have, there's so many singles that wish they had right now. You have a husband who loves you. You love him. Enjoy one another. That's the fun part of being married. There are other things, too. It's not just sex, but come on, sex is a big part of it. And God designed it. It's a beautiful thing. It's a gift.
Okay.
Well, we're out of time, but I hope this helps you. And, you know, if start as a blank canvas, and if you need to get some outside help, you can. But just remember that no one could dictate for you and your husband what is good for you, as long as it doesn't contradict the word of God. So if your husband came to you and said, hey, I want to bring someone else to the bed, it's like, no way. That's immoral. But if he's just saying, I just want me and you and let's just have some fun and let's figure each other out, have fun.
Okay.
That's what sex is for.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Sharon.
Have a blessed day.
You too. All
right, you too. Well, believe it or not, that's it. That is the end of this week's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We thank you so much for being a part of the show. Make sure you join us next week starting at 8 a.m. Much love going out to our producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week. We'll see you next time.